on Isaiah chapter 6. This is a very solemn chapter in the life of Prophet Isaiah. This is his calling as a prophet, which was full of the presence of God. And I pray that we will catch the vision that he caught while in the temple. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. We will just spend 8 verses. Verse 1 of chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken with the thorns from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged." I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful moment in which you have granted us once again to hear with reverence and desire, Lord, to know who you are and your plans and purpose for our lives. Thank you that you reveal yourself in the person of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that he is the answer to every solution of our problem, particularly our sin, which he purchased by his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Help us to look on that this morning and feel the solemnity of the challenge of your word. May we take heed of your word, dear Father God. May your Holy Spirit will continue to convict not only our failures, but our sin that continually harden our hearts and fail to do thy will and to live as we should, as your children and useful children of your kingdom. May we realize our need of you day by day to do thy will in our lives. Anoint each one of us, O Lord, with thy Holy Spirit, that we may understand, that we might not only understand and hear, but to hear, but then to respond to the challenge of your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's go back to that verse 1 of chapter 6 of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Let's take up the first half of that verse, which you can see in the year that King Uzziah died, comma. Now, there's something significant why this king was put there. And then, there's another proclamation of the vision of God. The reason of the significance of this is that when everything is going great and going well in our lives, we are tempted to feel that we don't need God. We do it our way. Regardless of what we know, what the Word of God says, when we are outside the church, we tend to do our own way and our own agenda. Surely this was King Uzziah's primary problem as a king. As he became successful, he forgot that he needed God's help. He started very well. Uzziah had begun his reign so well that it reached the apex of prosperity in the land. He reigned nearly 52 years, which is an amazingly long time to rule and prove oneself as a king and to create influence among your people. He had a potential of being one of the greatest kings in Judah's history. God blessed him in a particularly everything he did. But then he became proud and entered the temple on the sanctuary, and something only the priests were allowed to do. In Chronicles chapter 26, you may read that later, or if you want to, but come back to Isaiah 6, 26 verse 16 to 17. King Uzziah transgressed against the Lord. He became so proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord, his God, by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the altar. Verse 19 says, but as he was standing with the other priests before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. Leprosy. A lot of boils. Oh, that must be a frightening atmosphere. Verse 21 said, so King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. The vision received by Isaiah provided a timely reminder that the earthly rulers are temporal, no matter how we admire them so much because of their good rule and their contribution to the overall healthy economy and strength, military strength perhaps, and the ability of the other leaders behind them. And people love to see that all the time. And of course, 52 years is just like, how many? Is that 10 Turks? Our king here, or our prime minister here, only have at least 5 years term, isn't it? 4 years? 5 years. And there's no such one that lasted for 10 terms. Well, back in Singapore, their prime minister has, I think, ruled for nearly, 30 years, 25 to 20 years, Lee Kuan Yew. And a lot of people were crying because they lost a leader. People attachment to his leadership. There is no such thing can be compared with Singapore with the rest of the Asian countries. I know that the British government helped him to rule and to have prosperity because they had the highest prosperity at that time, even now. But when he died, people began to feel hopeless, began to feel worried. And this is a crisis point of their lives. What will happen? What if our economy will fall down suddenly? What if other nations will begin to creep in and attack us? This is the predicament of the Israelites, the Jewish people, at this point in time. And Isaiah himself is affected because he preached the word of God, he gives the warning to the people, but they don't take heed of it. People are so proud because of the prosperity going on. It is a reminiscence of what is going on in the daily lives of world best economic performance countries, perhaps in Europe. That is one of us. And people can just relax as if they don't need God. But in Isaiah's experience, before he was commissioned by God, we need to understand, as he shared his experience in that moment of being called by God, and as he worshiped God in the temple, we need to understand, as he understood, with a right reform and right understanding and reinvigorated the spirit to know God because of this vision. God appeared sitting on a throne in verse 2, or at the second part of that verse 1. He said, "I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." What does that tell us? Yes, the people of Singapore are worrying. There are some other countries in the U.S. when their favorite president, like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, who is one of their favorites, died. And of course, people are worrying, what will happen next? This is exactly the crisis point that the nation of Israel is facing. And Isaiah, as a king, reigns for a number of years. And what will happen now? So leaders are only temporary. God wants us to know that when things are at crisis point, when things are beginning to be worrisome, filled with anxiety and worry on the part of the people because our great leader has died, the Bible says on that last second part of verse is that God is in control. God is still in control no matter what happens to a country that is backed by a beloved king or prime minister. God is in control of that land, of that country. And God is in control even today in the world and all countries of the world. So what Isaiah is trying to impress upon us, the truth that as he was commissioned by God, and as he experienced this vision of the presence of God in the temple with his seraphims, as we will look them later, there is not only a presence of God in the temple, but throughout the world. That's why God is in control. So the truth that he wants us to know is that first, as we approach God in our worship, we need to understand that God is holy. In verse 3, you'll see that. In verse 3, one of the seraphim cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." You know, the fact that it was repeated 3 times, the word holy, 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 It signifies the eternal holiness of God. God is so holy that He wants His people to recognize that and to have a life that should reflect that holiness in their lives. So before we approach God any Sunday, any time of worship, even in our personal devotion, we must recognize that this God that we serve, that will reveal Himself to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, is alive today, is in control. Even the angels cannot look at Him. We see the reverence here with which the angels worship God and should take note ourselves. In verse 2, above, we'll see that verse 2 now, of chapter 6. Above it, seraphim, each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. What does that say? They cannot see God face to face. They have to cover their face. Even Moses cannot see God, because if once we'll see God, death will be immediately the result of that. That's why Moses only saw God at the shadow of his back. He did not see God face to face. And so this angel cannot see God face to face. That's why they have two wings to cover his face, their face. And with two, he covered his feet. What does that signify? It signifies the dirt of one's foot. When Isaiah was there being nearly in the process of being commissioned because of this vision, Isaiah was wearing a sandal. There's no shoes at that time. Can you imagine? Coming from that house, going to the temple, it must be a lot of dust. That's already accumulated on the sandals, and maybe the perspiration under his foot also took place. So it must be something dirty already happened there. And when he come back from the temple to his house, there must be a terrible dirt on his foot already. But that signifies the sin of our hearts. This vision of my Isaiah is a vision of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is explained in John chapter 12, verse 37 to 40, which says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them," in John chapter 12, 37 to 40, "yet they believed not on him, that the sayings of Isaiah," which we have read a while ago, in chapter 6, "that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which is faith. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord God revealed?" Verse 39. "Therefore they could not believe him, because Isaiah said again," verse 40, "he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that he should not see with their eyes, nor understanding with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them," is the promise of hope. Dearly beloved, if you are asked, like Isaiah, to preach to the people, only to harden their hearts, and people will continue to do their own thing rather than fear God as they should, this is the type of urgency, God. This is the type of people that we face today as we continually share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. People are hardened because they love their prosperity. They love their sin. That's why even Christians are affected by that. That's why when the Word of God is being preached, they cannot sense the holiness of God. Without the holiness of God, you can live a life that is fearing God. Just like what the psalmist says, one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Is that the contents of your heart? Whenever the Word of God is being preached, so that when the Word of God is being preached, is the Word and the voice of the minister, it's not what is being heard, it's the voice of God. Remember that. And I think many of us are like that. They don't see God talking to them. And the fear of God is forgotten. As long as they live a little bit the way they like, and go and come back in the church, they are unmoved. Their life is the same again and again throughout the year. That's why there is no fear of God. Let's pray that the fear of God will begin in this church, in our own individual lives, that we may see the holiness of God and fear Him as we should. This makes clear that Isaiah's vision is of Christ. And this is an important point that we should remember. And number two, what he discovered as he was there in the vision of God, feeling and seeing the presence of the Lord, he wants to make us realize that we should see our own nature. Our own nature. Our sinful nature. And that we should feel the necessity of cleansing of that sin. None of us can cleanse our way before God. Let's look number four. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And that smoke coming from the incense, the sacrifice that the high priest does. And so, the post, the land is shaking, and there's a great fear among the worshippers, including Isaiah. So that in verse 5, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the land, in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, he did not only feel the presence of God, he saw the King of Kings, who is involved in our lives today. And he sees what's going on in our hearts. Even right now, he sees what's going on in your hearts, whether you will take it of the presence of God and His holiness. And the Word of God that speaks about who we are, that they are nature, which speaks in verse 6, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar." And verse 7, "And he touched my mouth with it, and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sins is purged." No man can see God and live. That's why the work of the Holy Spirit starts with convicting man of sin. Right now, just as it was at that time. Even when our first parents were only two, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was there. Just as Isaiah was convicted of sin in verse 5, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." In other words, he felt the effect of the sin of the people around him. He himself is a sinner. Perhaps he has not carried his duty properly with utmost heart, with his wholehearted heart. That's why God has encouraged him to show him a vision of the presence of God, so that he will receive anew a great commission of what he was going to do as a prophet of God, as a proclaimer of the good news of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and the warning that is to come if God people who heard the warning that if they don't turn away from their sins and repent and believe on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is the vision not only of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That holy, holy, holy. We speak that God is holy. The Trinity. The Son is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. So that when they sang that, suddenly there is a great fear. And when we sing about the holiness of God and the Word of God speaks about His holiness, that should actually grip our hearts, and we are being warned of the things that detestable in the sight of God. We must take Him and confess those sins to God, because Isaiah was also reminded that before we can approach God, we must have our sins be dealt with. As in 1 John 8:1-2, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3, the scriptures teach us that there is a continual need for cleansing and holiness. Without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. We must be grateful for God, what God has done for us and for the Israelite people. There is now a living Savior who has done one that great sacrifice once and for all. That we should not feel too good about ourselves because everything goes well. That we must be willing to be washed anew, because there are things around us day by day which causes our minds and our hearts to be affected by the things of this world. The Bible says those who love the world are the enemies of God. And for that matter, because we are new in Christ, therefore whoever is new, who is in the Lord Jesus Christ, is new person. The old things have passed away, the new has come. That's why God expects us not only to have a new nature in Christ, but He expects us to live a holy and righteous life. Therefore, in verse 8 of our text, it teaches us that we should follow God's will and assess the level of our commitment to God, which is not only true at that time of Moses' vision and of worship of God, it's also true right now, because we are worshiping in the presence of a holy God. So verse 8, let us look at the verse of chapter 6. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And of whom who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. When we come together to worship God, there is a special way in which God is present by His Spirit to convict us of our sin. And when we are convicted of our sin and confess that sin and be forgiven, that sense of urge to live a holy and righteous life must be continually echoed in our prayer. If we don't experience that, we are sometimes, and most of the times, miserable, because people does not see God in our lives. Because there's no fear, there's no holiness. They don't see Jesus in our lives. But at this moment, Isaiah felt the urge. That's why that angel who put that fire of coal in his mouth represents the Lord's provision through our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. That's why if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 says, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. This is the word of God today for us, dearly beloved. God is worthy, and we are commanded to worship Him. When we see this passage in verse 8, when we are washed, when we are forgiven, when God is talking to us right now, whom shall I send? The Lord heard the voice. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. Each Christian is also called by God to follow the Lord Jesus and to proclaim the gospel to a lost world. Can you imagine this life? If I will cover this life, that part of the area will be, and those are also covered, it will be dark, isn't it? But we have the light in us. God doesn't want us to hide those lights. We must show them to the world by telling others of this light, which is on our Lord Jesus Christ. So that when we are forgiven of our sins, when we are washed anew and filled up by the Holy Spirit, we can hear the call of God as we study the Word of God, as we listen to it being preached. So we will discover the will of God for our lives and be willing to obey that call as Isaiah did. You see, when he said, here I am, that call is a special call of self-surrender. Here I am. You're surrendering yourself. I pray that that will be the case for each one of us today. If we are born again believer and wanted to be used by God to proclaim this good news. And send me is also a call, a response to the call of God, which is a type of self-abandonment. In other words, you don't worry for anything, you only live. And your wanting and the desire, like the psalmist, is to what? Come into the presence of the Lord and seeking to experience and digest and meditate upon the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of His holiness. So that when we have that, the Holy Spirit will say to us, go. When we say to Him, here I am. Send me. May the Lord bless His word today. May we respond to that call. Amen. Amen.